So now we're going to look at what life was like prior to House Bill 3 in this last session. SBEC has no authority over non-certified people, so we can't do anything about it. The non-certified population of educators and people in schools has been growing exponentially with the rise of charter schools and the rise of districts of innovation opting out of Chapter 21. So there are a lot more opportunities for uncertified educators out there.
So just this graph up in front of you talks a little bit about what the type of reports we receive prior to HB 3. The vast majority of what we received was from criminal history hits, and those were actually on certified educators as well as non-certified educators. However, our ability to adjudicate or do anything with the non-certified side was limited until just this past session. Second from criminal history hits, we also received school reports, which is going to be primarily what we're going to discuss here momentarily. But equal to that, in terms of percentage-wise, we receive reports from CPS. Those are required reports that the Protective Services is required to send to us once they complete an investigation. Other than that, we get reports from NASDAQ, and Publix is allowed to submit complaints to us as well. From those 13,000 reports, we open about 10% of those, because those would be what we would find to be more egregious violations that would, if proven true, would warrant sanctions. They also are felony conduct that we would potentially sanction based on our rules. The number has been increasing. You may have seen this graph, also representative of the number of inappropriate relationships, which would be a subset of what you see in front of you here. But the reality is that year over year, because of the legislation that Laura was talking about, there's been more requirements for school districts to report information, and thus the number of reports have gone up, and so has the number of investigations opened. And then just to focus on what we're doing, especially here as we ended in 2019, 63% of what we will open will be involving abuse, inappropriate relationships, violence and sexual harassment, anything affecting students and posing a threat to student safety directly. Other than that, we'll look at drug and alcohol-related charges, and theft, and then felony conduct per se, and open cases based on that. And then we'll talk now a little bit about HB 3. The primary two objectives of HB 3 as it pertains to the registry was, number one, requiring schools to now report non-certified educators. As we mentioned, everything before, prior to this, and all of the graphics you've seen were a reflection of the reports for certified educators. There obviously was a gap in coverage there and who we were able to investigate, so the schools now are required to investigate or report non-certified educators. And accordingly, once we do investigate those, provide the due process that Laura will talk about here in just a few minutes, we are required to put those individuals on the Do Not Hire registry if they're found to engage in the misconduct.
So coming out of the 86th legislature, we have a few key changes in reporting laws and in our role, I guess. From House Bill 3, we have schools being required to report about non-certified employees as well as certified employees. Now, it's important to note that this is not all the same items that you would have to report about a certified employee. It's really just abuse and inappropriate relationships that you report on non-certified employees. And then House Bill 3 gave us all the things we needed to implement the registry, the authority, the enforcement mechanics. Senate Bill 1476 is closing a loophole closing a largeness, I guess, created by Senate Bill 7 from the last legislative session, which Senate Bill 7 created this requirement to report if there is evidence that some kind of misconduct had happened at the point where the educator resigns or is terminated. Now, the trouble comes from that when someone is fully investigated by the district, exonerated, found that the initial evidence does not actually prove that there was misconduct, and is kept on for another 20 years until they finally resign to retire, and then the statute seems to say that they would need to be reported at that point. Your HR department is going to have to remember when they, you know, when they retire 20 years later that they still need to be reported the SBEC. Senate Bill 1476 closes that requirement and says that if you complete an investigation and you determine that the educator did not engage in the alleged incident of misconduct, you do not have to report, assuming that they can remain employed with you throughout the pendency of that investigation. If they resign before it's over, you still got to report. 1230 created a reporting obligation for private schools that we'll touch on just a little bit here today in case anybody has private school friends. So private schools have to report certain allegations against educators to the State Board for Educator Certification. There's no TEA enforcement of that. It's just reporting. So this talks about the world after House Bill 3. This is the parallel to the slide we showed earlier. As you can see here, now the commissioner has authority to put uncertified people onto the Do Not Hire registry. And the SBEC educators who get revoked for inappropriate relationships or for abuse of students will also be put onto the Do Not Hire registry.